Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Feedback and Insights Share 154. We're talking about various levels of intimacy, and it's important as well to share one's certain degree, one's faults, fears, and failures. Now, on the sharing of faults and failures, Victor Miller talked about it a lot, others also. There's no mitzvah to advertise all the failures of your past or things you're working through that are temporary. It could cause, for no reason, your spouse to, you know, be affected by something that, and look at you in a different way and wasn't necessary at all. However, if these are ongoing things where the faults are there anyway, the fears are there, and it's expressing itself in a certain way, then yes, then sometimes it is important to share certain faults, fears, failures, and those wounds, because they're infected, they're festering, and you clean it. It's a painful experience, and part of it is being forthcoming about it. You know, if a woman has a gambling or addictive shopping issue, or a husband has an addictive pornography thing, and that's really problematic, exactly how to go about saying something or some other type of thing, or alcoholism, he's trying to hide it. No, he needs to share that at some point. She'll catch on sooner or later anyway. It is not easy. You're exposing yourself. It makes you feel very naked, very vulnerable, and it's not comfortable to take your mask off and share your faults with your husband or wife. Even if let's say your husband or wife has known many of your faults for years, but you don't admit them to her or to him. And very important is that admission itself gets you closer, gets you to love each other more and to work with each other to get the help that's needed. When you honestly say, I need help with something, we all need help. We all need help. There's a great many of our faults that can only be overcome when we have the help, when we feel weak, and one's husband, one's wife, Ezer Kenektoi, helps with this tremendously. To admit, I'm afraid. You know, I get worried sometimes. I know I need more betachin, but I work hard, but I am worried sometimes about parnasa. I'm worried about our children getting mixed into the wrong environment. I'm worried they may not marry for the right reasons, and so on and so forth. And you talk with each other, things that are on your mind. Now, our fears could be complex, but we develop a comfort level with our significant other in our lives that allows us to express these feelings and these vulnerabilities. That's very, very important. The revelation of these failures is not a negative experience, because it's a learning experience, if you take it that way. We may not all have great shameful secrets in our past, some of us do, but we all have failures in the past. We have to learn how to overcome it. To admit, the ability to admit that we need help is also very, very helpful. And we have to make a choice. Are we an active person, or we are a victim? And the unwillingness to admit that we are afraid, or that we have been messed up, and so on, is problematic. So it's very important. If you notice also the true manhigim, the leaders of our generation, and the high-level people, they're all dynamic choice makers, but they were not victims. They didn't think of themselves as victims. You know, when someone says, my father used to yell at me, and that is why I am this way, that's the voice of a victim, not a dynamic choice maker. No, your father may have acted that way, but I choose to act differently and accordingly in a more healthy way. So that's the idea. The sharing of these vulnerabilities, of these faults, the failures, also is connected to each one of us' dark side that we have. That sometimes we could bury it and hopefully it goes away. The tshuva gets removed. But sometimes it's there that haunts us time and time again. And we need help to get past it. The idea being of trying to be the best version of ourselves. We don't have to be one. If our husbands and wives see that we are trying to improve, working on ourselves, working on our character, we may be far from perfect, but the actual striving brings closeness. The actual striving brings a certain morality. And that's very important to know. To become the best version of yourself. Not just the best version of what I should be, what I think I should be, but realistically what I am and the capacity of what I could do to a certain degree. It's all very important. That dark side needs to be shared. You hide the problem, it makes it uglier and uglier. When you share the problem, it makes it lighter and lighter, especially with the husbands and wives that are here. They definitely have that ability to be able to share with each other faults, fears, or failures without having it affect in a negative way in any shape or form, your relationship. Part of sharing feelings and failures will come to a process, especially if you hurt each other over time, is to forgive. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison, and you expect the other person to die. Unforgiveness enslaves the human spirit, and it's a thief that robs our past and robs our future. And there's no real easy answer of how to forgive, but it's a key component of any type of relationship to have that. And sooner or later, it will become an issue. And that makes a lot of sense. That is a big issue these days. But you see from here the importance of giving it over, importance of a therapy or a therapist or a mentor. You can give these conversations over in a very productive One thing about sharing feelings and failures that you have to be very, very careful about is not to use unhealthy humor or unhealthy sarcasm. Unhealthy sarcasm is very destructive to the relationship. Sarcasm is often when you engage to say something in a very passive-aggressive way, when you lack the courage to face the issue in a more mature, intimate fashion. Sarcasm is an easy tool to use. It's an easy tool that we unfortunately use too often. And yes, a quick joke can break the ice. And using humor in the right way is a powerful tool to connect with one another. But we have to understand that once you have different opinions and the perception of different facts, you see things differently, you don't appreciate as much that that aspect of it. So be very, very careful with sarcasm. Humor could be used for good. Humor could be used for bad. Use the positive side of humor to feel better. Use the positive side of humor to grow. So that's a very important aside pertaining to intimacy, of sharing of feelings, of sharing vulnerabilities. Another aspect of intimacy which is very important is to understand each other's legitimate needs. We all have legitimate needs. We spoke many times before that, yes, the goal is to give unselfishly, but we do have legitimate needs. If we don't eat, we'll die. If you don't breathe, you'll also die. There's some things that may not be as necessary as actual oxygen, but we need it to survive and to thrive. There's four types of needs. There's the physical needs, there's the emotional needs, there's the intellectual needs, and then there's the spiritual needs. And knowing each other's needs is very important in that quest to know each other as, in a relationship. And we always want to really do that chesed to allow not only to know each other's legitimate needs, but to help each other to fulfill those needs. Now, will your legitimate needs always be met? No. Things happen. Legitimate needs are sometimes a casualty over things that happen. But it's very important that there should be exception to the rule, not the norm. The norm is to try to align that we meet each other's needs. Otherwise, by nature, we tend to become more irritated, more restless, more discontented, more frustrated. So that's very, very important. About collaborating in a dynamic way what each person's legitimate needs is. And that is a real key to any real relationship, certainly the relationship between a husband and a wife. This need sometimes could simply be connecting to each other, looking each other in the eyes, enter each other's hearts and minds. It's an amazing thing. Physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Very, very important. All of them. All of these categories. Among legitimate need of a person is the need to love and the need to be loved, both. If you don't have opportunity to do that, yeah, you won't die as a result. But, and it's more subtle, but it's a legitimate need, and it could hurt you or your husband or wife if you lack it or you deprive it from them. You have legitimate needs to express your opinions, to be listened to be taken seriously, to share your feelings, and to be accepted, you know, to be accepted for the person you are and have a legitimate need for intimacy. And if this control was not met, you know, even though we don't die from it, like, you know, when we don't have oxygen, it can be very, very devastating. Your intellectual needs as well, spiritual needs as well. And again, between a husband and wife, you can't overload. For example, with certain aspects of spirituality, it's not necessarily where the husband and wife need to provide that for each other. They may need their both in their individual mentors to do that. And that's fine. That's okay. But between a husband and wife, the legitimate needs that can be shared and given to one another is a very, very important thing. Is a very, very important thing. You know, are you thriving or are you just surviving? Are you just going through the motions and just getting by? Then there's a good chance that a number of your legitimate needs are not being met. They're doing things that are not, you know, healthy. You need to protect yourself from that. So that's the concept of this. It's a very important concept. You know, most people don't want to be, they would rather stay illegitimate. They don't want to be more authentic. They're afraid of it. And we have to learn not to be afraid of it. Bracha v'atzlacha.